Strange things that nobody knew about before. So, yeah, it's crossed my mind.
Okay. Well, since the planets of our solar system have been in their fixed orbits for billions of years, it seems unlikely that we'd suddenly collide with Venus or Mars.
I know, but scientists at UCLA and Tennessee State University noticed a strange ring of debris and dust orbiting a star. They thought at first that the star was young, only a few million years old, but then realized that it was billions of years old, like our sun.
Okay, so?
So given the star's age and the distance of all that dust and debris from the star, that stuff should have coalesced into planets by now or been blown away into space. So the theory is that the debris was caused when two planets collided and blew each other to bits.
Wow. So if that's true, then it means that it's possible for planets in a stable solar system to somehow get off track and run into each other. Scary thought.
Yep. Actually, many scientists think that when the Earth was about a million years old, it collided with a body about the size of Mars, and that the resulting debris came to form our moon.
Interesting. So, if we're ever struck by another planet, maybe Earth will get another moon.
Maybe, but nobody would be around to see it.
This Moment of Science comes from Indiana University, with production support from the Brabson Foundation.
Today's program was prepared by Jeremy Shear, with help from Benjamin Zuckerman at UCLA. There are hundreds more moments of science on our website at amos.indiana.edu. I'm Don Glass.
And I'm Yael Cassander.
Let's take a look at what's happening today in sports next. A district attorney says Chicago Blackhawks star Patrick Kane has been indicted on misdemeanor assault and theft charges in connection with an attack on a cab driver over a fare dispute in Buffalo, New York. Erie County District Attorney Frank Sedita III says the grand jury today dismissed a more serious felony charge of second-degree robbery. The Chicago White Sox are hosting Kansas City this afternoon in the finale of their three-game series. The Sox trail Detroit by 3 games in the American League Central. In the top of the sixth, the Sox lead the Royals, the score 3-1. John Smoltz will resume his major league career, agreeing to a contract with the St. Louis Cardinals. The former Cy Young winner was released yesterday by the Boston Red Sox. After struggling as a starter, he agreed to a deal today with the NL Central leading Cardinals. The 42-year-old Smoltz is expected to join the team tomorrow in San Diego. Adam Wainwright of the Cards goes for his 15th win of the season tonight in Los Angeles as the Cardinals and Dodgers conclude a 3-game series. They've split the first two. The Cubs try to salvage 1 game in their series with San Diego tonight and keep alive their fading hopes in the National League Central. Rich Harden will pitch for the Cubs tonight. And the Minnesota Vikings have sold more than 3,000 season tickets since news broke that Brett Favre was coming to Minnesota. That's in approximately a 24-hour span. Seats for the game against Green Bay on October 5th are only available through a season ticket. There are roughly 7,000 season tickets remaining. The Vikings had to race to beat the blackout deadline for several games last season. That's sports.
Programs on WILL are made possible with support from Sinfonia da Camera, whose 26th season explores literary and musical themes from opera to Broadway, featuring works from Beethoven to Cole Porter, and opens with a musical homage to William Shakespeare. More information is available at 333-6280.
This is Mike Sola from the WILL Weather Center with another severe weather update. The National Weather Service in Lincoln has issued a severe thunderstorm warning. Covers many counties across western Illinois, including western Logan County, extreme southern Peoria County, Menard County, eastern Mason County, northwestern Sangamon County, southwestern Tazewell County, extreme southeastern Cass County, eastern Fulton County, and northeastern Morgan County. National Weather Service meteorologists have been watching this line of storms capable of producing quarter-sized hail and damaging winds in excess of 60 miles per hour. The storms were located along a line extending from 13 miles west of Manitou to 7 miles northwest of Easton, and the storms were moving to the east at 30 miles per hour. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued in the WILL severe weather coverage area. It covers western Logan and northwestern Sangamon counties and the surrounding counties in that area. We also have a tornado warning that remains in effect for another half hour until 3:15 for western Sangamon County and eastern Scott County, as well as southeastern Morgan County. And this line of storms is moving to the east at around 30 miles per hour, producing very strong winds and maybe producing hail in some areas. Again, the latest is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 3:45 for western Logan and northwestern Sangamon counties. Stay tuned to WILL for further weather updates.
It's 2:46. Even before the recession, some companies were struggling with the notion that many of their customers expected to get their products for free. That's a trend in marketing and pricing and something customers have come to expect, especially in the digital world. NPR's Wendy Kaufman reports.
When you emerge from the elevator and step inside the offices of Teach Street, the gaggle of software engineers and casual atmosphere remind you of a dot-com era startup. But the business model here is decidedly 2009. The company is an online marketplace for teachers and students, and Teach Street founder and CEO Dave Chappelle says free is part of its marketing strategy.
So if you teach piano, you can come to Teach Street, add your profile and a listing that says that you teach piano. That's free. It's likely always going to be free.
Some of the firm's services have a price tag, but Chappelle believes that in order to get people to use his site, it has to be free, at least initially.
Free takes away risk.
Deborah Mitchell of the business school at the University of Wisconsin says human beings try to minimize risk. It's something our brains do, though we might not even know it's happening. What's more, she says, in many instances, especially in the digital world, we've come to expect a price of zero.
You know, the so-called Google generation, or people under the age of 30, certainly under the age of 20, have grown up having all kinds of access to things online that didn't cost anything. So they expect music, other kinds of content, news. You know, even in the industry of pornography, they feel like the content should be free.
In the online world, some things cost very little. In his new book, Free, the Future of a Radical Price, Chris Anderson explains the logic behind an old assertion that some information wants to be free.
Digital stuff, this is bits, have unique characteristics. They can be copied at almost no price. They can be distributed at almost no price. And these unique properties of bits carried with them economic implications. And one of them is that they could be made free. And therefore, because they could be made free, that there was a sort of gravitational force for them to tend to become free.
Not everyone agrees with this thesis, but it's fair to say that when most people think about getting things for free on the web, what they really mean is they don't pay any money. The cost is often shifted from users to advertisers. Google makes a bundle with this model, but many other companies haven't. It may surprise you to learn, for example, that so far, neither Facebook nor YouTube has turned a profit.
You're right that YouTube's not profitable today.
But Anderson says it will be soon.
This is the thing about new companies, is they tend not to make money in the early years. What you build is you build non-monetary assets. You build audiences. You build attention. You build content. You build data. You build something of value. And then you figure out what the business model is.
But once something's been offered for free, it's hard to get people to pay. Just ask newspapers who are struggling to find ways to make money from online content that's now available for nothing. Some marketing experts, including Peter Fader of the Wharton School, suggest that this move to free has been too fast and too dramatic.
It's created this impression that we must go in the direction of free, and that could be harmful. It could become a very dangerous self-fulfilling prophecy. There's still many areas of digital content where people are quite willing to pay and don't need any notion of free at all.
Author Chris Anderson views things a bit differently. He says in many instances, companies can find a way to make more from giving things away than from charging for them. Just about everyone in the digital world lets you try a free sample. Some companies hope that what they offer is so valuable that people will pay for it. Other firms are turning to what's called a freemium model. Give most things away, but charge some people for a premium product. In theory, at least, those who pay will subsidize everyone else. Wendy Kaufman, NPR News, Seattle.
The spelling bee. For some, a time of childhood glory. For others, not. Either way, adults who want to relive their youth can do so. One popular adult spelling bee lives in an unlikely place, a bar in Brooklyn, NPR's Ben Calhoun reports.
The back room of a Brooklyn bar named Pete's Candy Store gets quiet. Williamsburg Spelling Bee, round three. The word is ablutionary.
Ablutionary. Ablutionary.
A young woman named Christine looks up at the ceiling as she rolls the word around in her head.
I'm going to guess.
The Williamsburg Spelling Bee is one of a number of grassroots adult spelling bees that have sprouted up around the country in the last several years. Some of those have limped along or fizzled out. But patrons at Pete's Candy Store are still spelling about twice a month, and it's often standing room only. It started about 5 years ago in the brain of a guy named Bobby Blue.
The light bulb moment, I was sitting in the movie theater watching Spellbound, that incredible movie documentary of the kids that are going through the Scripps Howard Spelling Bee. It was just like, why don't adults do this anymore? Why is this not fun anymore?
And so, the Williamsburg Bee was born, where currently the prizes include $40 worth of free drinks and a sandwich. The bee draws all kinds. Some people just out for fun, a few looking to avenge spelling bee losses from childhood, and some people who can really spell, like Carolyn.
Carolyn D'Aquila.
D'Aquila?
D'Aquila. D'Aquila. So my spelling skills started very early.
D'Aquila went to the National Spelling Bee in the 90s and was a pronounced...
This is Mike Sola from the WILL Weather Center with another severe weather update. A tornado warning has been issued for southwestern Sangamon County as well as southeastern Morgan County. This tornado warning in effect until 3:30. National Weather Service meteorologists detected a severe thunderstorm capable of producing a tornado. Now, the dangerous storm was located near Athensville, about 16 miles east of Whitehall, moving to the northeast at 40 miles per hour. Locations impacted by this storm would include Waverly, Louder, Thayer, and Auburn. When a tornado warning is issued, it means that strong rotation has been detected in a storm. A tornado may already be on the ground or is expected to develop shortly. If you are in the path of this dangerous storm, move indoors or to the lowest level of a building. Stay away from windows, and if driving, do not seek shelter under a highway overpass. Repeating, a tornado warning has been issued for southwestern Sangamon County until 3:30. This tornado warning also covers southeastern Morgan County. This is in addition to a tornado warning that had covered western Sangamon County that remains in effect until 3:15. That previous tornado warning also covered southeastern Morgan and eastern Scott County. And a severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for western Logan and northwestern Sangamon counties until 3:45. The radar does show this line of storms that stretches all the way from just south of Peoria to Coupon County around the Carlinville area and has been producing powerful winds, extreme lightning, and heavy downpours of rain. Again, if you're in the path of this storm, this is now the time to take preparations for the storm's arrival. The latest warning is for Sangamon County and southwestern Sangamon County and southeastern Morgan County, a tornado warning in effect until 3:30. Stay tuned to WILL. We will continue to monitor the situation and update you as the warnings need.
It's 2:54. Let's move on to another feature. After nearly 70 years, one of the world's great love triangles is resolving itself. The eternal teenager Archie Andrews of Archie Comic fame has chosen a bride. There's no spoiler alert here because Betty has already blogged about it. In issue 600, Archie chooses Veronica. More from NPR's Nina Gregory.
Our unlikely hero is an awkward but polite 17-year-old redhead. He somehow manages to hold the attention of both Betty, the girl next door, and Veronica, the raven-haired rich girl. Archie is distinctly average. He's middle class, works part-time, plays in a band, and is not quite athletic enough to make the team. Victor Gorelick has worked at Archie Comics for over 50 years and is Archie's editor-in-chief. He explains the Archie mystique.
He's not a Superman. He's not a Batman. He doesn't have all these powers. He's just the power of being able to have people like him.
And it's not just Betty and Veronica who like Archie. Generations of readers have been drawn to these stories. Comic book store owner Joe Ferrara owns Atlantis Fantasy World in Santa Cruz, California.
Archie is kind of like the beginning point for the majority of people who've read comics. It's kind of like your rite of passage. You know, as you're introduced into the world of reading and the world of comics and entertainment, you find out about Archie and all of his classmates and how much their normal lives reflect the same thing that happens to all of us.
We here at Morning Edition are following the Archie saga closely and would like to present our interpretation of this momentous occasion. The NPR players bring you Archie Pops the Question. It's 5 years in the future, and Archie and Veronica are in the big city, walking past Spiffany's.
Everything's Archie. Sugar. Oh, honey, honey.
Oh, Archie, you know I can't stand that song. You've been singing that for decades now. Will you ever change your tune?
Hey, Veronica, let's go in. I need your help picking out something for my, mom.
Well, hello. Welcome to Spiffany's.
Actually, Veronica, I'm here to get something for you.
Oh, my! What a beautiful diamond ring.
Veronica, we've known each other for more than 65 years. And by the way, you don't look a day over 16. And I think I'm ready to...
What are you trying to say, Archie?
Veronica, will you...
Marry me?
Uh-huh.
Just at that moment, Betty walks by and sees Archie down on one knee.
Oh, Archie, no!
What will Betty do? What will Veronica say? Will Archie really go through with it? Stay tuned. Well, Betty did what any modern girl would do. She went home and blogged about it weeks ago, and her fans went mad. Editor Victor Gorelick said fans have reacted strongly.
Everybody wanted it to be Betty. I mean, I think they want to read and see what's going to happen. It's a long story. That's all I can tell you.
And just as the love triangle is a literary device, as old as storytelling itself, so too is the plot twist. And comic book seller Joe Ferrara doesn't think this is how it will all end.
If I own the company and I know what's made it work for so long, I'm not going to change it so dramatically and kill the golden goose that has been producing the success they've had for so many years.
You can go to NPR.org and see pictures of what comes next in this tale of love and betrayal. Nina Gregory, NPR News.
Earth and Sky.
We have extensive...